been studying the plan of God in relationship to what's been in eternity past, and we've been particularly dealing with God's wisdom, right? Y'all remember that?
Yes.
Okay. It's a good thing we got you. And in relationship to God's wisdom. And we've been doing that for a little bit of while. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to jump to another portion in relationship to the world of Dunn. But we're going to move into, and it's only going to be for tonight and maybe Sunday morning that I'll be sharing, the body the Son wanted. Jesus as the Son of God and the body that he wanted. So basically I was trying to describe it to Lindsay that this is not going to be added into the wisdom that was before time. This will be a separate thing that will be get its own thing eventually, because there's so much that we're going to be talking about the body of Christ when we get to that point. So tonight we're just jumping a little bit, and let me read Colossians 2, verse 9 through 10. For in him, in Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. So I want you to just notice a couple of couple of words out of that. One is Godhead bodily, the body that the Son wanted. Complete in him. And the word him, which is the head. So you have a body, you have a head. And so let's start with several scriptures, as I usually do when I get into a thing like this. Let's start with Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. And when we read this, pay close attention to it, because this is going to be our main scripture. We're going to go through a bunch of scriptures here shortly. But this is going to be the main verse relating to tonight and that we're going to stick with, okay? Luke 1, verse 28 through 31. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Okay, so she's been called blessed art thou. It's been said of her, you found favor. But those things are relating here in this scripture to two things, that she's going to conceive another life within her, which is the Son of God. And that she's going to bring forth a son. Y'all catching on a little bit here? Good. All right, so now we're going to just go through a set of scriptures. And as we go through it, I want you to look closely. I want you to look for things that are related to the body of Christ. Because, as I said, once we move along past this, we're going to be adding to it. So it's going to be important that there be a foundation of the Word of God upon which we're sharing. So my first one here is going to be, but remember, Luke Luke 1:28 is our main scripture. All right, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Hebrews 10, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Do you see it? A body. And he's sort of saying that this body offsets sacrifice and offering. That this is what's important to him. We're talking about the body the Son wants, not, well, we say, every church says, well, we're the body of Christ and we're, you know, this and that and whatever. But the question is, what is Jesus looking for? What does Jesus want out of us? What is he desiring in relationship to what he would call his body? Okay? So, but a body hast thou prepared me. Colossians chapter 2, Colossians 2:16. And verse 17, Colossians 2:16-17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moons or the Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. So this is literally dealing now with the Jewish religion, if you will. All of the things that are important to them. All of the things that, meat and drink that you can only want. Holy days, new moon, Sabbath days, all of this. And yet Paul is saying that those are just shadows of something that's much greater. And he says, but the body is Christ. And the other one also that we just read before it uses the word but a body hast thou prepared for me. Not all this. Are y'all seeing this? You're seeing what's important by the scriptures to the heart of God, so that it can lead us into the heart of God, not just knowing facts or doctrine or what have you. All right, so Philippians chapter 3. And this is Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And it's going to start off with the words "for our conversation," but you know, because we've studied this in the past, that the word "conversation" means manner of life. It's not talking about how you talk. It's not saying, well, you talk like a Yankee. Well, you talk like a Texan. That's okay. It's talking about how you live, okay? All right. For our conversation is in heaven, or our manner of life is in heaven. What do you think of that? From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our, what? Our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So again, this is showing that the body, this body that is going to be our vile body, if you will, is going to be fashioned like an unto his body. And in this happening, it's going to subdue all things unto himself. So all of the emphasis that we put on our body, whether spiritual, meaning, you know, or whatever, there is a body that he seeks, that he desires. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, are you enjoying getting into the scriptures? What did we used to call this when we would?
Sword drills.
We're back to sword drills again. Yay! Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Okay, so this is breaking it down a little bit more. This is saying, yeah, there are natural bodies, but there is something more important, and it's a spiritual body. And let's just throw this out and say, well, what if this body, the body that the Son really wants, is more than just a gathering a bunch of people in a building with a steeple over it. We can't afford a steeple here, so we do with what we can. What if the body that he's talking about is so much more than just going to church? That it is finding and endeavoring to satisfy him in what he wants instead of him always satisfying us in what we want. All right, so Ephesians, and there'll be one more after this one. Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 20 and 23. You ready? Mm-hmm. Y'all are fast. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. What does that sound like? Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So this isn't just happening to the church, okay? So we say, well, this is a church. And the Baptists say, well, we're the Baptist church. And the Methodists say, well, we're the Methodist church. And the Episcopalians say, well, we're the Episcopalian church. But Paul is writing down the word of God as he receives it from the Holy Spirit. And it is saying this, let's see, the wording is the church, which is his body. Not the church, which is a denomination. Not that I'm against denominations, as long as they're 50s and 100s. Thank you. Sorry, I sometimes slip into this weird stuff. Anyway, so he's saying the church, which is his body, this is starting to move us more towards what he's really wanting, moving us outside of a religious gathering or outside of, and when I say a religious gathering, Jesus isn't a religion. He's a person. He's the Son of God. And to be gathered unto him, that's what he wants. But he wants us to be the church, which is his body, not the church which shows up on Sunday. Now, the church which is his body that functions as they're functioning. I am the vessel. I am a vessel of and a member of him. Not just what he set up on the earth or what man set up on the earth. All right. And then the last one, and this isn't the last scripture we'll go to, but the last in the order of this, is James 2:16. Book of James, chapter 2, and verse 16. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? All right, so of course what he's mainly talking about here is if you see somebody that's hurting or whatever, and if they're hungry or they need to be clothed or something, that you don't give them that. But I saw something more. That's here. But this thing that God is saying, the problem is that you didn't give those things to them which were needful for the body. There are things that are needful to be given to Jesus to have the body that he wants. And maybe lacking because the church is so centered on, you know, what you can see, feel, taste, and touch in the material world, the material world that is wrapped in religion instead of wrapped up in him. And again, if and most people, and James even has a good connotation about religion, but there's also negative connotation about it too. So, all right, so back to our story now with Mary. In that story, and let's see, that's in, again, Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. In that story of Mary bearing Jesus, there's four pictures of the body. There are four different pictures of the body. And I don't know how far we'll get with all of that tonight. Hopefully, maybe I'll share Sunday morning and then we can get a little further. So here's the four. Mary having Jesus live in her. That's one of the pictures of the body. Mary having Jesus live in her body. Okay. And in that sense, she is the body. Okay. And then, so let me just read this a little more here. Mary having Jesus live in her. She is his body. So I'm going to call that the Mary body. And basically all we're saying is Mary's corporate body that Jesus actually lived in. All right. So number two, Mary forming a body for him of his own. Okay. His body in her womb, but being carried around by someone else. Carried around by Mary, as she does anything. Okay. Number three, Mary giving birth to his independent life bodily. So now she has acted as the body of Jesus in that he was placed within her, and it's the first body he's ever had. Right?
Yeah.
But then the second one is that he is forming. There is a body forming, not just Jesus, but Jesus's body is forming in her, right? The third one, when she gives birth, then there's the independent body, if you will, that he has. And number four, the in him body, eternal in the heavens. All right. So let's talk about the Mary body. I wrote down, let him live in you. Be like Mary, let him live in you. God didn't put a religion inside of Mary. He put his son. So, and again, reading that last part, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Well, what's the favor? The favor is the Son. And she put it in two things. You're going to conceive and you're going to bring forth. And one of the things, two of the things that God wants for his body is that the conception of Christ, new birth, but more than new birth, because new birth can just be, I got saved. Amen? But what he knows what he's talking about, and what he's talking about, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ for you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then to bring forth that son.
Yes.
Not bring forth religion or your testimony or all these other things, but to bring forth his son, the Father's son. He's called a father. The Father wants his son. All right. So I wrote, Mary was the first body the son lived in. God wants his son to live in us. I said, there's too much religion and not enough life. Amen? I mean, imagine walking around with Jesus. If Mary walked around with Jesus and she's got him on the inside, but she's doing religious things. Do you kind of get a picture there?
Yeah.
That she's busy with her religious, you know, church that she's involved with or whatever, and the religious affairs, carrying Jesus around, but he's not doing any of it. He's just in there. And that's the way it is with a lot of Christians, folks. They got Jesus in there, but they're so busy with their body taking them where they want to go. So 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? It's funny that he's saying the Holy Spirit is in you, and it's of God because the Holy Spirit is God, one with God in the Godhead. And you're the one that's not your own. But we're treating Jesus and his life in us as if, you know, we're really the ones that's in charge. And we're busy for God without rousing him to life. That's probably not the best way of saying it, but that's the way I feel about it. So he's talking about this, and I said, notice it didn't use the word with. Glorify God with your body. It doesn't say that. Okay. So it's saying glorify God in your body. What's the difference? Okay. One is glorify God with your body, where you refuse to go out and get drunk with your friends. I've glorified God with my body. But to glorify God in your body is to glorify the God that's in your body. Which is what he said. He said that therefore glorify God in your body. Meaning the location is God is in your body. Jesus is in you. You're, if you will, the new Mary. You know what I mean. You have the life. You have the seed of God within you. So, so how do we glorify God in our bodies? By letting him live. Not just you live, letting him live. He's in your body. Why are you in a body? So that you can live, so that you can manifest, right? I mean, if we had a ghost in here and he didn't have a body, he couldn't manifest. You say, well, he could knock the clock off the wall. Oh my God. We have Christ in us, folks. We have the Son of the living God. And we're scraping around for crumbs off of the table when we've got the full meal deal and at a discount. Christ in you is the hope of glory, so glorify God in your body. All right, so it's about life. It is about life. Christians spend too much time with their body as a tool instead of on the life that is in them. Is our body a tool? Yes. Do you agree with that? I mean, we're using our body. Many churches, there's a church that'll say, well, why, how come our people are not involved? You ever heard that before? I remember when I was young and I was an assistant pastor in a church, and the pastor got mad because the congregation was like not doing anything. And he stood behind the pulpit and pointed his fingers and he said with a loud voice, "Why do I always have to pump you people up?" Well, there's a lot behind that. But the fact is, we shouldn't have to pump people up. Amen? Come on. Yeah. We should be in love. We should be in love. You know, if you were in love with somebody in this room, you would be fighting not looking at them. Do you know what I'm saying? Anybody ever been in love before? You know, well, that's the Lord. That's where we're supposed to be in love with Jesus. We say it all the time. I love you, Jesus. But it's more than just words. All right. So Jesus said in John 10:10, you don't have to turn there. I will, but you can. If you're saving scriptures, you can write John 10:10 down. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Does that sound good? Yeah. Wouldn't it even be better if it was more than a sound? Yes. In other words, that we focus on the life and the release of life, his life. Not focus on the ministry and the release of good hands that can do this job. You know, well, I don't know how to drive a nail, but I can take care of the children's church. Well, that's fine. But the point being that it's really not first and foremost about what we do. It's about who. It's about a who. It's about a him. And we're his body. And if we're not cognizant of that in a spiritual way, then we're just doing works for the Lord. You say, well, I'm doing it for the Lord. Well, that's fine. But what if the Lord's going, hey, sit down for a while. Let me do a few things. You know? Hallelujah. So Jesus talked about the abundant life. The abundant life is not Christianity. Can't get amen. Amen. Got awful quiet here. I was fixing to walk out so I don't get hurt. The abundant life is not Christianity. It's not. I mean, we've taken Christ and kind of voided him out, and now it's just anity. Almost insanity. Without Jesus, folks, when it's supposed to be Jesus, it's insanity to live that way. Because it's just going to reform into religion. It's just going to reform. It'll form itself into a nice set of rules and a nice set of things that we can be involved with to keep ourselves busy so we don't really, you know. I mean, can you imagine if the devil would want to just keep you busy with Christian stuff, even good stuff, good, not God, good stuff, and want to keep you busy with that, because that way there's no challenge. Because you're just all wrapped up in something other than the Son that the devil is afraid of. So I got to chase the devil off. Well, how about letting Jesus show up? You know? If you let Jesus show up, you'd be surprised how... I'm not even talking about deliverance. I'm talking about running. Talking about the enemy running from the Lord, from the light. Because the light dispels darkness. You don't have to flip a switch and the light goes on and grabs darkness and says, get out of here, and starts throwing all the darkness out. Get out. We're the, you know, this is the Lord. This is the light. You just turn it on and the darkness is gone. See, all the fighting against darkness. Just turn the light on. Oh my goodness, what a difference. And it's a lot easier. And you know, the hardest thing about it, if you walked into this room and it was dark, you know, you go, oh no. There could be darkness in here. There could be bad. You know, da, da, da. The hardest part of it is just flip the switch. Well, that hurt my finger. All right. So let's talk about the purpose of the Mary body. It was the second thing I talked about. Mary is going to not just bear Jesus. Yes, I want you to get this. Not just to bear Jesus. Not just to give birth to Jesus. But to be for lack of a better term, to be a platform in which a body for him is being made also. So that he could have his own body eventually manifested at birth. But we always think, well, Jesus is in there, but we don't think, you know, there's got to be a body. There has to be a body. And so spiritually, she has to understand what it is that Jesus wants and what it is that what the Father wants. She has to line up spiritually with their heart. She has to say, not my will, not because it's bad or not because it'll lead people wrong. Because Jesus said, think of this, Jesus said, when he prayed, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Well, don't you think that the will of Jesus and the will of the Father were exactly the same? Always and forever? I mean, if it wasn't, then you've got God out of whack. It's exactly the same. So why did he say, not my will? If it's going to end up being the same thing. Because he wants the glory to go to the Father. Because he wants it to be about the Father. Not my will. Even if I can do exactly what you can do, I'd rather you get the glory, Father. Amen? And this is how we begin to understand the nature of God. All right, so there's a progression. Number one, the Mary body first is used to contain life, right? We saw that. All right, number two. But over 9 months, something else is happening. The Mary body is being used to create a body for the Son of God to live in. Eventually, to live in, to live out his will, his desires. And why would this next phase be so important? Eventually, God wants his own body to live in. Jesus wants his own body to live in. And again, why? Okay, let me read this. In a sense, though Jesus was in Mary, right? Jesus was in Mary. Yet in her body, she did all the living. He's in there, but she's going to the grocery store. He's not. Right? Jesus was in there, but she was more in charge. Well, if she doesn't understand that, then she's missing the point. She's missing the point. And if Christians don't understand it, they're missing the point. What's the point of having Jesus in you and Jesus being put in every Christian, everybody that gets born again? So Jesus, come into my heart. What's the point of having Jesus in there if we're all just going to do our own thing in a million directions and it not all be the body of Christ yet? It's just the conception, if you will, being placed like Mary did at the very first. It's the seed, but not the body. Yes.
That in pregnancy, you know, mom does the living, whatever baby's doing the growing. And then when it's time for the baby to be born, it's the baby itself that actually releases a hormone that starts labor. And I thought I would throw that out there because I think what I'm understanding is that, you know, when Christ first gets put in us, it's like that seed of the Father. It's a seed that grows. And that's right. That's good for the season. But if we keep him in there as a baby, never ever getting to that point where we're ready to release him, but like suppress those labor hormones, if you will, like never go into labor, never be willing to let the life of the Son come forth, then well, first of all, that's incredibly unhealthy.
To say the least.
Very uncomfortable, because then you have conflict all the time, like, you know. But anyway, that's kind of, is that okay for me to share that? Because I feel like
sure.
He wants to come out.
Amen.
He doesn't
Amen.
Want to stay stuck in there.
I mean, if we didn't get anything out of this class, that's it. Jesus is in every one of us. But just because he's in us does not mean that we're letting him come out. It doesn't mean that we're in agreement with that. And he also wants to come out with his own body. If you will, this is going to sound weird to a mama, but he wants to come out in his own body, not your body anymore. Not because Jesus is going, I don't like you, Mary. It's none of that. It's because God prepared for him a body. You remember? And there has to be a manifestation of life, or it's just us playing games. Yeah.
I'm sorry, because I'm the mama that's confused over here. And okay. So you're saying that he wants to come out of us. And when he does so, it's like, if I'm understanding, we're aligning our will to him. We're saying, no longer me, not my will. But I'm not just releasing you like I'm going to have a baby that's going to walk around, but I'm aligning myself to you. So it's no longer me, but Christ who lives.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's, and that's what you're saying.
Yes, except yeah. I'm about to take it to another level.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
All right. Thanks. So just listen to the facts, and then we'll start bringing it together. She's missing the point. God is not wanting her to live for him by glorifying God with her body, but giving him his own body. So in that sense, we become his own body. And each one of us, instead of being Christians, and then we say, well, we all have Jesus in us, but we're not being his body. We're not giving him his independent body. Let me keep going. There's more. But giving him his own body, she probably had him in her while she carried out religious acts for God while ignoring the life in her. Do you think that's possible? You want me to read it again? Okay. She, She probably had Jesus in her while she carried out religious acts for God while ignoring the life that's in her. I don't know percentages, and I don't know all that many people, but it seems to me that a whole lot of Christians have very little reality that, look, this is first and foremost about Christ living in us and manifesting out of us, and not just individually, and this is the key, not just individually, which you've been talking about, not just individually, but until one day a body begins to be formed. A body. And now I know we all have these concepts of what that body looks like. Well, that body looks like it's this and this looks like that and whatever. Could we really know until it starts coming forth? What the body would be about, it would be more about Jesus than it would be about us and all of our good works. And it would be different members, which we haven't got to all that yet, but just so you know. All right. So we can live as individuals that have Jesus in us, but we're living as individuals. But God wanted a vehicle for his own son. And the son wants his own body. If that's true, and I believe that it is true, if that's true, then in a sense, Mary is going to have to die to her own way of living for God. Could you see that maybe being possible? That you know, all this flurry of, you know, well, we're going to do this and we're going to da 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 da, all that. Let me make sure that you understand. I'm not saying that you don't ever do anything. Some of you are going, yay, I don't have to do anything. That's not what I'm talking about, and that's not what God's talking about. There'll be doing, but it'll be his doing. But it's also moving toward this eternal body that is his body. Eternal life, full of eternal life. And I want to see that more, not just in the word. I want to see it in me, and I want to see it in us, and I want us to, you know, keep pursuing and loving one another, and you know, and walking in freedom. Walking in freedom. So, in a sense, Mary must die to her own way of living for God and let the life which is in her carry her. And I had that underlined. I thought, what an intriguing thought that now his life is going to carry us while she carried him for 9 months. But it is true. It is true that he begins to carry us. So, read this statement I wrote. We are to reckon ourselves dead, give up our religious life, and fade more and more out of the picture. John the Baptist saw this as the forerunner and said that he must increase, Jesus must increase, and I must decrease. Everyone else around him was trying to get his ministry to increase. Y'all remember that? John the Baptist? They were all trying to, no. You know, Jesus is doing more stuff than you are. He's baptizing more people than you. So we need to kick it up a little bit here. And John, he was the forerunner of somebody that understands this. He's the forerunner. And he said, he must increase and I must decrease. But in Christianity, just like on, you know, all the websites and stuff, everybody's trying to increase. Everybody's trying to look good. Everybody's trying to have something under their name that says I'm something. I'll tell you what we are. We're Jesus's. We belong to Jesus. We're His. We're sons of God by Christ. Beloved, now you are the sons of God. We have eternal life, not just the way everybody wants to put it. We have, oh, I have eternal life, so I'm going to live forever in heaven. No, we have eternal life, which is Christ. He is the eternal life. We're on this timeline, and so here's our life, and then here we are, we're sinners, and we go up to this point, and then we get saved right along in this time period, and, you know, and so then we die here. So this part, we don't have eternal life, but when we accept Jesus, now somehow He endues us with eternal life that just keeps going, when actually we were going to die if it didn't happen. No. Jesus comes in us right here. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is eternal life. And we are joined with Him forever and ever and ever. And we're in Him and He's in us. And that's eternal life. Because eternal life isn't having a beginning with no end. That's everlasting life. Everlasting life is you start, but then you live on. That's the way most Christians say. Well, you know, I didn't used to have this. But when we get Him, He's eternally from the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and we are put into Him. Amen? All right. So in taking these things into consideration, because that's what we're doing, we don't swallow hook, line, and sinker anything anybody says. We search the Scriptures. We search the Scriptures to find out whether it's of God or not. That's what the Bereans did in the Bible. Paul said they are more noble than they of Thessalonica in that they search the Scriptures daily to find out what things are being taught are true of God, what's of God. We do that. We don't claim that. We do that. That's what we want. We want to know. We want to see past the veil. So, as I've said a million times, don't ever just believe what I tell you or anybody else here. Go to the Word. Go to the Holy Spirit. Go to the Lord and find out for sure. Then it's more than a good lesson that you learned. Then it's life. Abundant life. Amen? All right. So, I was reading this. With the Son being in her, he is carried where she wills to go, which is true of many Christians. They have Jesus in them, but they're carrying Jesus where they want to go. And I'm not saying everybody's doing that. You know better than that. You know me better than that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it is quite possible that there are Christians out there that are like the Mary body, and they've received Jesus, but then they've just gone on without their life, and they've never really let him live in them. So, wherever she wills, which is true of many Christians, this is kind of like Peter, who will be carried to where he doesn't want to go, or like an old person who has lost his body. So I'm reading this this example from Peter. It's actually out of John 21, verse 18. You don't have to turn there, but he says, "Verily, verily," this is Jesus talking to Peter, "verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whithersoever thou wouldest not." Going places you might not want to go. Well, that's what we're doing with Jesus. But we wouldn't even know it. We wouldn't know that we're doing that if we're more cognizant of us than we are of Christ. That we never really think of him in terms of life and what, you know, I mean, would it be silly if we just said, "Jesus, is there something you would like to do? I just want to be your body. I just want to be your vehicle to help you get there." Well, that's why this church was raised up, folks. That's exactly why this church was raised up. We have been raised up to take Jesus where he wants to go instead of us determining a program and a plan for our Christianity. Man, we have been raised up of God. We've gone from many people to few people to fewer people. And none of it matters because we're still raised up for that purpose. And it still is Christ is in the center. Jesus, the Son is still in the center. And as long as he's what our desire is, then he'll take care of all the odds and ends. We can't figure all that out. And if we did, he's not telling us to do them. He's telling us to wait on the Lord. And I always picture when I hear those scriptures, "wait on the Lord," I see Jesus sitting at a throne. And then I see somebody just sitting at his feet. And they're just looking up at him. And it's like, you know, somebody, I could see somebody walk along and say, "Aren't you tired of just sitting here? You know, aren't you tired of just..." No. "Well, you're not doing anything." "Yes, I am. I'm waiting on the Lord." And they look back up and they're just gazing on Jesus, at Jesus' face. Content. And then if Jesus gets up and says, and just heads out to go over here, get up and you go with him. You know, it's not figuring everything out. It's not having a plan. It's having a Jesus. Amen. And he'll lead you. Do you think he won't lead you? He will. He wants to. He wants to live out of you. He wants you to be his body. All right, so I wrote, "Most believers know Christ is in them, yet they live much of their lives for God, who is far away." In other words, oh Lord, he's, you know, isn't he in us? Oh, Lord. It's like he's also omniscient, so he's outside of us. And he stands at the door and knocks. He says, "Hey, I'm trying to get in. You're not letting me in. You know, you are my house." All right. Let me read some more junk that I wrote, and then we'll quit pretty quick here. "They have little thought of him who is their life." Does that sound sad to anybody? It sounds so sad to me. I want him to live, and I want him to freely have use of my body, my eyes, my whatever. They're not growing in the knowledge and relationship that is focused upon developing and growing him a body. And we'll get more into that as we go here. But it's, I don't know if I can explain it, but it's, I see Mary, you know, she received this, she received Jesus and everything, but nobody told her, you need to start developing inside of you a body for Jesus. Which you say, well, it happens automatically. Well, but does it spiritually? You know? And what I'm saying is there not a time period for forming the body? A time period. And is there not maybe a spiritual desire that that body for Jesus be formed, and it be formed in the way that he wants it? And that that we have a plan, if you will, that we want him to have that. I don't know how to put it. A blueprint, but not a blueprint. Just giving him... It's almost like... And I know it all happens automatically, but it's almost like our first present to you, Jesus, is here's the body, here's this body. You know? And then he's able to live independent of our religion that takes us wherever it's going to go. Until we invite him back, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if he's in us, he's in us. But the truth is, it's like he's not there because we don't even think about, you know, every prayer is up, you know, and far away and is related to a need that may not even be a difficulty to him. But to us, we're our body focused. All right, so we see this in Galatians where Paul prays for believers to be like Mary and have this concept in them that will bring forth a new way out of them. And now I'm just going to quote Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Well, you glad you came tonight? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, we are desirous to be with you in what's important to your heart. And we know that Jesus is your beloved Son. He's not just your Son. He's your beloved Son. And we want to honor him who has come inside of us with the same honor that you honor him. We want to honor him as if he is your beloved son instead of as if we are your beloved son or daughter. So, Father, we ask you to take these faltering, foolish words out of my mouth, breathe into them the breath of life, and let them touch this body, this people, that we may grow into a reality of being your heavenly body. In Jesus' name, amen.